This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Flames stumble into the break. Loss to Ottawa. That hurts. Do the Flames come back a better team after the break? Or do we have the failure like we had last year? Good evening, Calgary Flames fans. Episode 33 of Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. January 19th, 2020. It's a Sunday night. Recording for a Monday release on the Hockey Podcast Network. What's with this team? Why can't this team beat bad hockey teams? This scares the hell out of me. It really does. Riddick looked amazing against Toronto. Looked extremely unlucky against Ottawa. I can say this in hindsight's 2020, and I don't blame anything really in the Ottawa game too much on Riddick, but I probably would have went Talbot in this game. I would have had Riddick go to break after an amazing game in Toronto and enjoy his break, come back, top-notch confidence. Talbot riding high right now would have done a fine job. Who knows what the results would have been. I don't know that it would have been any different. But just for Riddick's mental status going into break, I think it would have been good. But, you know, a week ago, Jeff Ward told Riddick he wasn't starting because Talbot was the hot hand and we're going to run the hot hand. Well, now Riddick was a hot hand. You know, would it have looked contradictory for Talbot to get the start? A couple ways to look at that and a little ways to think about it. You know, did we actually make it 2 or 3 days without the Tkachuk-Cassian talk? I get asked about it seems like every hour. I think I made it 2 days without somebody asking me about it. It's nice. Even though I like that fire and I like that grit and I like everything involved with that, God, it got to be a little bit much, didn't it? It sure did. What the hell's going on with this 9-day break? What are we going to do? What are we going to talk about on the show? What are we going to do at night? Is it time to catch up on some Netflix? Is it time to watch some other things other than hockey? Or is it time to watch maybe some Eastern Conference teams we don't normally watch? I think that's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to take this 9 days and watch some teams I don't ever watch. Kind of learn a little bit more. There's always some teams I neglect. Even some Western Conference teams I neglect in my hockey watching. I think I'll get back to that and watch a little bit more about that. On our next show, will there be a trade to talk about? I hope so. I know Troy Living's trying to get something done. I hope he does. I'd like to see it sooner rather than later. I think this team needs to gel and find their way in. Making the move now would be better than waiting up till deadline day in my mind. But I'm sure he's doing whatever he can to make that happen. On the show today, we're going to recap that win in Toronto and the loss in Ottawa. We're going to talk about cold players and some inconsistent play. And then we're going to talk about what does management need to do on this break? What do I think management needs to do to come out of this break flying on, you know, going on all cylinders? Talk some Flames news, talk jerseys, Yeltsin, the Tkachuks, Harvey's Doghouse. I got a new guy that's never been on it this week. And fan question, who's my favorite Flame current and past? Interesting. You might be interested a little bit on that one. Make sure you listen to the Hockey Podcast Network. They are a great, great source for hockey podcasts. 31 teams, 2 podcasts a week, a couple other podcasts out there. One you need to check out. It's fairly new, a few episodes in, called Ice Analytics. It's a deep dive into hockey analytics, to statistical analysis, and how they relate to both the sport on and off the ice, how it relates analytically to attendance, signings, trades, gambling, a little bit of everything. Check that out on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, Flames fans, let's recap a couple hockey games. Something we won't get to do here for a few episodes. Man, I got something in my throat tonight. I haven't had that all day. No, I wasn't yelling and screaming at the football games today, which I thought were kind of a letdown, especially tonight's game. I liked the playoffs last weekend, though, but not so much this weekend. All right. Flames going to Toronto. In the middle of this four Canadian team games in a row, which I don't like. But anyways, Thursday night, they go into Toronto. And I thought a solid game from both teams. Both teams who I think should and will be in the playoffs. God, I hope I'm right there. I know Toronto fans hope they're right, and they're freaking out a little bit right now because they currently are sitting outside of a playoff spot. It's hard to believe, isn't it? No scoring in the first period. Pretty good back and forth first period. Second period, Derek Ryan gets the Flames on the board. Shot from Hamonic from the point, assist to Dubé. Ryan with a beautiful tip, 1-0 Flames. The talk of this game is flat out David Rittich. I thought, and you guys are probably going to tweet me and tell me I'm an idiot, but in the first period, the first few saves that Rittich made looked a little unorthodox. He looked a little out of whack. And I thought a couple times, I'm like, oh man, is he off tonight? Or is this just me? He can't be off. Well, things got going. He made some more saves. And as they got going, they got going. And this guy was making 10 bell save after 10 bell save. He won the game single-handedly for the Flames. I do think the Flames played pretty well. Defensively, they gave up probably a little bit more shots than I wanted them to. Toronto did score on the power play in the third period. William Nylander got his 21st assist from Tavares and Barry. 1-1 at the 8:35 mark. They traded scoring chances. Toronto having numerous chances that David Rittich came up big on. Shots at the end of overtime, 36-32 in favor of Toronto. It was a wild game. It was definitely a wild game. We'll go to a shootout. Toronto shoots first. Spezza does not score. Monahan does not score. Auston Matthews does not score. Matthew Tkachuk does score. And then Mitch Marner doesn't score. David Rittich stops Spezza, Matthews, Marner. Flames win. Big game in the shootout, 2-1. That's a very, very, very important 2 points for the Calgary Flames. And then they jumped on an airplane and went up to Ottawa for the Battle of the Tkachuk Brothers. God, I get tired of saying that too. You know what? I was scared to death for this game. I just was. I was scared to death. I was expecting just a mental breakdown completely. Our team has proved to us this year that after they win a big game, they look like dog crap the next day. I don't know why that is or what it is, but when you're going in to take on an Ottawa team that's 17-23-8, you got a day's rest between games, you should take care of business. Really should. Now, on a positive note for Ottawa, Hogberg was great in the nets. Calgary had 42 shots on goal in this game and lose 5-2. That's crazy. This is a game where there was no offensive spark. Gaudreau and Monahan were completely invisible. Monahan a -2, Gaudreau a -2, Tkachuk a -3, Lindholm a -3. Shots on goal, Monahan had 2. Johnny Gaudreau, 1 shot on goal. That cannot happen. Tkachuk and Dubé, 6 shots for Tkachuk, 4 for Dubé. just cannot happen. Way too many guys were passengers on Saturday afternoon. Way too many guys. Brady Tkachuk got on the board first, 1-0, after one on a shot that he shot off Hamonic into the net on a goofy one that went over the top of Riddick. Tierney scores, Brown scores in the second, 3-0 Ottawa. Colin White adds one in the third, make it 4-0. Jankowski. Why did I told my friend before this game, I'm like, watch. Now Jankowski will score today, and that'll leave us the whole break going, oh, well, maybe Jankowski will come back hot. No, don't hold your breath. He gets his first of the year at the 14:09 mark, Backlund, Giordano with assists. Nemestikov gets a goal in the third just a minute and a half later after the Jankowski goal. It's 5-1. Noah Hanifin adds one at the 18:02 mark for his fifth of the year. Hamonic gets another assist on that one. And we end 5-2 in a game that lacked everything. It just lacked everything. And it pisses me off a little bit because I wanted to go into break feeling calm and confident. And I don't know how you guys feel, but I don't feel calm and I don't feel confident right now. As it stands in the standings, the Calgary Flames sit in third place in the Pacific Division. Disappointing loss to Ottawa, but hopefully over the break, things change mentally and they regroup and we get some offensive production from some guys who desperately need to get going.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
All right, Flames fans, let's talk about cold players and inconsistent play. This is ridiculous, guys. Where we sit right now scares the heck out of me. Because as I open my phone to find a fact that I just saw, that on January 19th last year, the Calgary Flames had five players that were 50-plus points. Gaudreau, Monahan, Lindholm, Tkachuk, and Giordano. Five, 50-plus. Guess what, Flames fans? We got zero this year. Zero. And this is how cold it is. This is how cold the Calgary Flames are. Sam Bennett, one goal in his last 17 games. I'm the biggest defender and proponent for Sam Bennett. Can't do it. You can't have one goal in 17 games. I don't care who you are. You just can't do it. Dylan Dubé, one goal in his last 16 games. I'll maybe give him a little bit of a pass since it's his rookie year. But if he's going to stay up on the big club, he needs to produce more than that, right? Giordano, one goal in his last 32 games. Now, he's a defenseman. I get it, guys. It's not his number one job, but look at where he was last year. He's almost the same amount of shots this year as last year. You're just not getting him to go. Tkachuk, zero goals in his last 10 games. Tobias Reeder, 0 points in his last 10 games. Andrew Mangiapane, who we think is a first liner, I've argued it, 0 points in his last 10 games. Lucic, 2 points, one goal, one assist in his last 17 games. And the guy we just talked about, Mark Jankowski, 2 points, one goal, one assist in 39 games. Eight, that's a lot on a roster. Eight players playing that bad, having that bad a negative streaks. And this team's 1 point out of first place. If four of those guys were just producing a little bit, we would be in first place. If six of them were producing, we'd be in first place by a lot. Where would this team be if we could get some consistent production? Right now, we sit in the third place spot in the Pacific at 57 points. In our last 10, we're 6-4-0. But here's the problem, and here's what scares me the most out of that. We lose to bad teams. Teams below us in the standings. We've lost 8 of 19 of our losses are to teams that have no playoff hopes at all. I'll read them off. LA, San Jose, LA, Montreal, Minnesota, Chicago, Montreal, and Ottawa. We've lost twice to Montreal, once to Ottawa, twice to LA. Are you kidding me? We're ranked 25th in the league at goals per game with 2.6. Yes, for a team that scored in bunches last year, we have a severe problem in scoring. We're ranked 22nd on the power play at 18.5. And we're not getting star production at all from Johnny Gaudreau with 38 points and Sean Monahan with 36 points. How in the world can we even come close to a division lead with the inconsistency and the horrible streaks that we have going right now? Now, I'm not trying to be negative because we are right there. And I think this team will make the playoffs. But we're going to need 4 or 6 of those guys to figure a way out of a slump. And is Johnny Gaudreau gone forever? We've had a few flashes here lately where it's like, oh, we got Gaudreau back. We got Gaudreau back. But we don't have Gaudreau back. We don't. We can tell ourselves that. Let's tell ourselves that every day during the break to make ourselves feel good. The truth is, he's not there. Johnny Gaudreau has to be better than 13 goals. Absolutely has to be better. Right now on the Sunday evening, the 19th of January, the standings are this, and I've never seen this before in the Pacific Division. Shoot, Pacific. What am I talking about? This late in the year, I don't remember this ever happening. We're first through fifth. They're separated by 1 point. 1 point. Vancouver, which I never thought I'd say this year, leads the Pacific with 58 points. Edmonton sits at 57. Calgary played one more game than Edmonton, sits at 57. Vegas, who's played 2 more than Edmonton, 1 more than Calgary, sits at 57. Arizona, who's played the same amount of games as Vegas, sits at 57. Wow. How scary is that? Now, Calgary is, by all means, do I think they'll make the playoffs? Yeah. And I think they're going to finish in the top 3 in the Pacific. But we have got to be getting more production offensively. Or we won't. We won't make the playoffs if we don't get more offensive production. It's a scary reality right now, Flames fans.
Inside Edge Hockey News. Bringing you inside the game.
Flames head off to a 9-day break now. Maybe it's a good thing we don't need to watch them for 9 days. I don't know. I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm being realistic. This team needs to get it together. And now we're in the middle of our beginning of our CBA-mandated All-Star break. CBA-mandated for most of it, and an All-Star break for some of it. And, wow, it didn't go well last year when we did this. So, on the bright side, since everything has been the opposite of last year, maybe we can come back hot from the break. I don't think we want to come back cold like we did last year. But oh wait, I don't think we can get much colder than we are right now. So, let's think about this. What are the main priorities of Brad Tree Living over the break? I've broken it down to 5 things. I think it's critical that we determine the fate of Mark Jankowski right now, whether it means trading him or putting him on waivers. 39 games played, 1 goal, which came in the last game against Ottawa on Saturday, 1 assist, 2 points, he's a minus 12. Does Mark Jankowski have potential to get better? Yes. Will he get better? I don't know. But Flames fans, we put Paul Byron on waivers. We didn't want to do it, but we had to. As far as I'm concerned, Mark Jankowski goes way below Paul Byron on this and needs to be put on waivers. Second thing we need to do is we need to leave our defense and goaltending situation alone completely. Don't give up on a D-man and make a trade. Or don't make it, don't give up on the D-man. Don't give up a D-man as part of a trade to get a forward. We're going to need each and every defense down the stretch. Injuries are going to happen, And you can't have enough solid, reliable defensemen for a playoff run. You just can't. Defense wins championships. We're going to need these guys down the stretch. Now, I think it's critical that we need to trade for a top six winger. Trelivan said when he removed Frolik and got that salary, 4.3, that he wasn't going to just keep it in his pocket. He was going to spend it, preferably on a guy with term. But that might be harder than what Brad originally thought. Now, I think the biggest fit for this spot is Tyler Toffoli from Los Angeles. 49 games played this year, 12 goals, 15 assists, 27 points. Yes, he is a pending UFA. But he is a quality right winger. He has upside, potential to re-sign. And since he has a UFA, price tag will be lower. It will be lower than a guy with term. And what I mean by that is Calgary would love a guy with term, but what are we willing to give up? Hopefully not a roster player. Now, maybe a Brody or a Hamonic, if we have no hope of re-signing them, could package, but that scares the hell out of me because we need those defensemen down the stretch. Now, if you add Tyler Toffoli to the mix, we have a first line of Gaudreau, Monahan, Toffoli. I like that. Tkachuk, Lindholm, Mangiapane. I'm not so sold on Mangiapane right now, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt there. Lucic, Ryan Dubé. I think that line's proved itself. Then you move Backlund to center where he belongs. And you have him center Bennett. And I think either Zarnik or Reeder. I think Zarnik deserves a spot. I think Zarnik, who's been really good in Stockton, since his injury, needs to come up and get a shot at that, which he was doing really well at the time of his injury. And then you have Zach Rinaldo sitting in your back pocket for nights when you need a Zach Rinaldo. Gives us a really strong up-the-middle center group. And it'll also give us four-line depth, which we need. Adding a Tyler Toffoli to this lineup would look really, really good. And yes, I know there's other guys out there, but I think Tyler Toffoli would come at the best rate of return. Sometimes it's not always the greatest to go out and get the biggest guy available. He doesn't always get you the best return. I think Toffoli would get us a good return. Number four thing I think Brad Treliving needs to do is enable a fresh start upon return from break. I don't know if meetings will help, but you need to figure out why Johnny Gaudreau is not going. Because quite honestly, if he doesn't get going, there is no way I see that we keep him or any reason to keep him after this year. We need to move him and get something back for him because I don't see him long-term in the plans for the Flames. Number five, you need to establish strong, solid depth lines. Making a move will do that, and you need to figure out where we're going with Mangiapane and Dubé. Maybe Zarnik and Reeder fill that spot better. I don't know, but we need to figure it out because those guys aren't producing right at the moment, even though I like the play of both of them at times. But that's the problem sometimes is with the young players is you lack that consistency. But I've been preaching it for a long time that establishing strong lines and sticking with those lines is pretty important to the success of the Flames. It's going to be an interesting break, and I think that we will see a move during the break. I hope and I think we will.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing you inside the game.
Some little housekeeping Flames news. They reassign Alexander Yeltsin to Stockton of the American Hockey League. Might as well get him some playing time while the Flames are on break. Flames are actually talking about making their retro jerseys their permanent jerseys. Yes, please. I would love that. I'd be so, so happy. In a bit of funny slash good news, in Saturday's game in Ottawa, Wes McCauley kicked out both centers at the start of the game. Yes, to have the Tkachuk brothers face off. Check out coolhockey.com, your number one source for authentic and customized NHL jerseys. Use promo code THPN and receive 25% off your order. Coolhockey.com.
Coolhockey.com. Jerseys online since 99.
All right, time for another edition of Harvey's Doghouse. And I got a guy in the doghouse this week that feel a little bit guilty for putting him there. But you know what? I've never had him there either. He's one of my favorite Flames players. But I got to do it. Dang it. Michael Backlund is my Harvey's doghouse this week. 8 games since his last goal. 1 point, which is an assist in the last 5 games. And even though he had the most ice time of any Flame offensive Flame, in last Saturday's game in Ottawa, I just feel like something's missing right now with Michael Backlund. I don't know what it is. He's getting some scoring chances. He's not burying anything. I'm just starting to wonder now if what Michael Backlund brings to the Flames is better showcased when he's at center. I hope the Flames management thinks about this, because I really like Michael Backlund at center, and I hope we find him back there real soon. Moving on to our Flames fan question. Who was my favorite Flames player, past and present? And I love this because I love talking about my opinions on the Flames. And let's talk current first, and then we're going to go into past. And my current one might shock a lot of people. It's not your prototypical Johnny Gaudreau or Matthew Tkachuk. It's Travis Hamonic. And why has Travis Hamonic grown on me over the last couple of years to make him my favorite Flame? And I think it's work ethic. I think it's teammate. Travis Hamonic will dive in front of anything, any puck, to make the play happen. He will do whatever it takes to win. I think it was Dylan Dubé last year in game one of the year gets drilled by Gabranson of Vancouver. Travis Hamonic comes flying to the rescue to save his rookie and breaks his jaw in the process. Not many players will do that, but Travis Hamonic will. That's why he's my favorite current Calgary Flame. Sean Monahan is honorable mention. He's frustrated me lately, though. Man. Now let's talk past Flames. And this one's been pretty easy. He was my favorite player of all time. It was Theo Fleury. When he was in Calgary, I loved what he did for this team. There was so many nights I feel like he threw the team on his back and just went to work. Had the pleasure of meeting Theo Fleury back in 96 probably? The final year of the Jets. I believe that was 96. A game late in the year. Kind of a bad game for Theo Fleury, as he got drilled in the bench, in the eye, and had to leave the game. I believe he missed games after that even because of the injury. But Theo Fleury was a spark plug. He was always fun to watch. You never knew what was going to come out of his mouth. You never knew what he was going to do on the ice. He was a dynamite player and a really nice guy. I got to meet him, and very, very, very good guy. I followed his career, obviously, after he left the Flames. I've read his books. I feel terrible for everything that he's had to go through. But Theo Fleury is a face of the Flames. I mean, yes, we have Lanny McDonald. We've got a lot of great Flames players. We have. But my favorite was Theo Fleury. Mika Kiprusoff is my honorable mention on that. Fun to think of the Flames past. There's really some great games. Maybe that's what I'll do as we go into the break this year, is maybe I'll watch some old Flames games. I got the DVD set. Might have to do that. Relive some of those playoff successes that we had. And let's hope the Flames can get things rolling again and get things back on track. Enjoy your break. We'll be talking to you again Wednesday night, drops Thursday on the Hockey Podcast Network. You can also check out all the information on flamesunfiltered.com. Enjoy your time off.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.